Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Lone setback is McIntosh. Play fake Bennett. Wants to throw and, oh, back shoulder throw. Oh, my goodness! Caught Bowers off a dip. 40, 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, touchdown. Brock Bowers caught the tip. Florida tipped it. Bowers stayed with it. And Pater for the dog.
Snap to Stroud. Hands Travion Henderson. Busting it straight ahead of the Penn State 30. Left side of the 20. Henderson to the 10 and into the end zone goes Travion Henderson on a 41-yard touchdown run.
The top two teams stayed unbeaten last week. At least they were the top two teams, thanks to the Buckeyes Radio Network and the Georgia Bulldogs Network for the sound bites. The first college football playoff poll came out on Tuesday and basically made the AP and coaches polls null and void. It also put the Volunteers on top of the college football world. First time Tennessee has been number one in this poll, and only the seventh team all-time to reach the top spot. Georgia opens at 3, Ohio State is 2. Clemson fills out the top 4, followed by Michigan and the highest-ranked one-loss team, Alabama at 6.
And Tennessee had never been in the top 4. They're having that kind of year. Congratulations to them. And you can make that case for them at number 1. They've got the best win, I think. I feel like Georgia's got the most impressive win. Do we remember them beating Oregon by 46, a team that's in the top 10 in the playoff rankings? Ohio State has really not been challenged very much. So it's one of those three we thought that was going to be there, and there's still a lot more to go. People are clamoring, Graham. They're already saying, we need an expansion now. We got a lot of football left. These teams are going to play each other, and it will work itself out.
Tennessee's there because they beat Alabama, who is number 6.
Yes.
How easily that could have been reversed, though, right?
Yeah, and if that were the case, I don't know, maybe Alabama would have been number 1. I mean, we don't just break down everything based on one or two games. There's a lot more that goes into it, I'm sure, but those things clearly stand out. It's pretty tough to top that win for them, which was the biggest game of the year, at least up to now.
We can't seem to get away from the saga that is Jimbo Fisher. Texas A&M lost again last week, this time at home to Ole Miss. Fisher has been critical of anyone who questions the program's recruiting techniques. That includes Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin, who seemed to have the last laugh after the win on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought the running back did well. I mean, 390 yards rushing against a bunch of five-stars, pretty good.
Halloween right around the corner, what are we dressing up as?
I don't know, maybe Jimbo has a Joker outfit for me.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
That was funny, and also he took a little shot in the post-game press conference when he said, you know, he went after my buddy Nick Saban and me. Lane Kiffin's on top of the world right now. And in the meantime, where is Jimbo Fisher?
Not so much, but he's still covered because he's got a huge buyout. I don't think he's going anywhere. And good for Lane. Lane's got a week off to prepare for Alabama. And he's one of the guys that can say, hey, guys, we control our own destiny. Win out, SEC championship. You know they're in if they win the SEC. A lot of hard work to do that, but they're one of the teams we can talk about.
Absolutely. His name's about to come up again in just a minute because of this. What has been anticipated for the last few weeks finally came to fruition on Monday. Brian Harsin was let go as the head coach at Auburn after just 21 games. It's a little more than a season and a half. It's been a tumultuous time for Harsin, who was never accepted by a large faction of the Auburn regime. The announcement coincided with the arrival of new athletic director John Cohen, who comes to the Plains from Mississippi State. In a somewhat curious decision, Harsin sent out a statement following his firing, but apparently did not include the Auburn beat writers when he was released. Brian Stoltz of RivalsAuburnSports.com was somewhat perplexed, explaining the relationship between Harsin and the Auburn media.
21 games and you're 9-12 and 1-4 in the SEC this year. I mean, you got to have answers, and he didn't have. He never had answers. He never made a attempt to learn how to be successful in the SEC and at Auburn. He did not warm himself up to the community. He didn't do anything outside of his job that, you know, most coaches would do, like Bruce and Butch do. And he especially didn't recruit. And, you know, you can cover up inadequacies when you're winning. But when you're 9-12 and you're losing that bad, those inaccuracies are going to grow even bigger in people's mind, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I would agree. This is a marriage that was doomed when it started, and it ended pretty quickly.
Well, it all comes down to winning and losing. We could say he didn't get out in the community and all that. If he had been winning, all is well, and that's the case for anybody. In this game, that's the way it works. One thing was put out by the university in their statement stating that they want to compete at the highest level. That's what Auburn said. I look back 2 years ago when they fired Gus Malzahn. They said they want to compete at the highest level. It's tough. This is the SEC. Auburn has that running relationship with Alabama and Georgia. They play them every single year. To compete at the highest level, you got to beat those teams. They're talking about national championships. Got a long way to get there.
Yeah, they do. And oh, by the way, the names floating out there include Lane Kiffin as one of those, Deion Sanders.
Of course.
Hugh Freeze. Pick one.
Look back at the list 2 years ago after Malzahn's dismissal. None of the names were Brian Harsin, by the way, who ended up with the job.
Exactly.
Tennessee playing what amounts to a 4-4 fake. And there's a touchdown! Touchdown, my God, a touchdown! We threw up the Haynes! My God almighty, did you see what he did? We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Georgia. Georgia.
15-2, Tennessee leading. Crowd roaring against Georgia, trying to make them drop it so they can't hear. We hand it off to Herschel. There's a hole. 5. 10, 12, he's running over people. Oh, you Herschel Walker.
Keep Georgia on my mind.
Georgia on my mind.
Holloway, passing out to the 10, taken by runners to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 7, 6. Touchdown!
Wish that I was on old Rocky Top down in the Tennessee hills. Ain't no smoggy smoke on Rocky Top. Ain't no
pass downfield is up for grabs. Did he grab it? He grabbed it. Where did he grab it? In the end zone. Pandemonium reigns. Give him 6.
Rocky Top, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Top. Rocky Top, Tennessee. Rocky Top, Tennessee.
That's what some of the past meetings between Georgia and Tennessee sounded like. Where will Saturday's epic matchup enter into the realm of this series? Doesn't have a lot of history. 51 meetings, but none have been bigger than this one. First time the two have met as top five opponents. So the table is set. What is the main course for this one? Well, it's the quarterbacks. Yes, a big game usually comes down to which signal caller plays the best. And these two have been superb in the last couple of years. Stetson Bennett has picked up where he left off a year ago, while Hendon Hooker has catapulted to the top of the Heisman rankings. To give you a better perspective on these two, we go to the guys who've covered them, Mark Wiedmer of the Chattanooga Times Free Press and Patrick Garbin of Rivals, UGASports.com.
He's very adept at sliding before they can get a direct shot in on him. And then his accuracy, I mean, what is it now? I think maybe 57 touchdowns to 4 interceptions going back to last year. I mean, just staggering numbers. And he's the favorite now for the Heisman and probably deservedly so. I mean, he's just been phenomenal. Of course, he's an older guy. He's been around. This is at least his fifth year in college. And he's bright. He's a great person. I think about all he does is study football. So he's written a children's book, though. I mean, there's a lot to him beyond football.
I think Stetson's fantastic. You know, he entered last season the third string quarterback, and I think people were just shaking their heads by October, certainly November. How is this guy, this former walk-on turned JUCO player, came back to Georgia? How's this guy leading Georgia to a national championship? Oh, well, it's the defense. However, he still led Georgia to a national title. I think this year he's leading Georgia to victories. I think maybe we've heard not as much about Stetson because last season it was kind of glaring, the entire situation. And now he's just quietly and calmly picked up and doing the same thing he was doing a year ago.
Well, here we go. One versus, in this case, 3, and it's not the number one we thought it would be. It's Tennessee, if you're basing it on the playoff poll, but this one's got everything, right?
It does, and it's 1-2 in the AP because Tennessee moved up into a tie with Ohio State, and that's just the third time that has happened in the Southeastern Conference in the regular season. Alabama, LSU were the other two, 2011 and 2019. And we got this great story with these quarterbacks. Cinderella stories for Stetson Bennett and Hendon Hooker. Both are excellent. But it is a matchup that's interesting with the 1-2 total offenses in college football. And Georgia has, yes, brought their game up on that side of the football. They're still very good on defense. And I'm interested to see what Tennessee's defense can do because they're not so good against the pass.
One player may or may not make a difference, but Nolan Smith, the linebacker for Georgia, very well could. He will not be playing. He's out for the year.
And also look at Tennessee. Why are they so good offensively? Well, Hooker's part of that. Hyatt's part of that. But that offensive line has held up. And they did against Alabama. If you remember that game, Alabama got no pressure in that game. That'll be a key.
While to some, the annual battle between Alabama and LSU has been relocated to the back page of Saturday's top matchups, it certainly has major implications on the SEC West. LSU's turned it around, winning 6 of 7. Next, they try to end a 5-game losing streak at home to the Crimson Tide. Bama rebounded 2 weeks ago with a win over Mississippi State after falling to Tennessee in the final seconds. This is Brian Kelly's first meeting with Nick Saban since the two led their teams to the 2020 Rose Bowl, played in Arlington. Kelly also gets a taste of one of the SEC's most bitter rivalries. Rodney Orr of Tider Insider has an interest in just how he responds to the challenge, as well as how Bama can continue to improve.
Yeah, I just think he's really the key is that he's brought a little more. As time has gone along this season, they've picked up on it, their team has. I think it's discipline, the way these players are starting to kind of come around to, you know, the way he wants to do things, the way their staff is trying to do things. I think they're starting to buy in. And I give you an example. You know, Kayshon Booty, their great receiver, and he wasn't doing anything at the beginning of the year, if you remember. And there was some speculation that he may just quit, you know, just save himself for the draft. You know, again, it was speculation. And now I understand, you know, there was a comment last week or two that Brian Kelly said, yeah, at the first of the year, I couldn't get you to respond. And he said, now, you know, you're taking on the leadership role. So I just think it's kind of the way that team has progressed, buying into what, you know, Kelly's trying to do.
Like Tennessee, Georgia, this one's tough to call. I think Alabama has the edge, if only because of Nick Saban, but the way they played on the road, who knows?
Yeah, Alabama's kind of doing what they did last year. This was a close game last year, and Alabama was a better team, but they're playing to the level of their competition to a degree. And they've been pretty good against LSU, by the way, winning 6 of 7. They haven't lost in Baton Rouge since 2010. They should win the football game, but Brian Kelly's done something there. You remember the first game? It was a lot of folks upset. He has turned things around there because he can coach. And I like the matchup here. It should be a good one this weekend.
Yeah, I would say they got upset when they watched him dance with that recruit, but that's long gone.
Well, you know, and I don't want to rule out LSU. I'm seeing people post that LSU is in contention, and I think they are because if LSU wins out, they do control their own destiny too. They would play in the championship with the SEC champion, even if it's a two-loss champion, be shut out of the playoff? I don't think so.
I wonder. And one more thing. Late last week, college football lost an icon. Vince Dooley passed away at the age of 90. In his 40 years as a coach and administrator, he led the University of Georgia in some of the most triumphant seasons in school history. He was Georgia's all-time winningest coach. His teams won 6 SEC titles and 1 national title in 1980. A native of Mobile, Alabama, he played at Auburn, then served his country in the U.S. Marine Corps before returning to his alma mater to become an assistant coach at Auburn under Shug Jordan. Later, he became the head coach at Georgia in 1963 at just the age of 32. He also served as the school's athletic director for nearly 2 decades. Last year was special for him as he watched the Bulldogs win its first national title since he was coach. He was also inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame located in his home state of Georgia. As great as he was a coach, he was known better as the endowment and embodiment of a Southern gentleman who won with grace, lost with dignity, and provided a voice of integrity for our university for many years. Vince Dooley will be missed, but his legacy will last forever. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, we go to Raleigh, North Carolina, where North Carolina State comes from behind to beat Virginia Tech on an 18-yard touchdown pass from MJ Morris to Thayer Thomas. Gary Hahn has the call on the Wolfpack Sports Network.
Here's the snap. Morris looks. Wide receiver screen to Thayer. Thomas. Thomas at the 10. He breaks free. 5. End zone. Oh. Touchdown. Flag down, though, at the 12. Hold the phone.
There is no foul for offensive pass interference because the ball was caught behind the line of scrimmage. Yeah. The result of the play is a touchdown.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Attention all military and first responders. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is proud to offer you 10% off in-store or online purchases from October 23rd through November 13th. Plus, free in-store pickup on online orders in just 2 hours. Redeem your 10% off at your local store with a valid military or first responder ID or online at academy.com/discount. Offer valid October 23rd through November 13th.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
The Lindy's Football Report.
The first edition of the playoff poll is out. What does it mean? Here's Michael Butler.
We got our first college football rankings released this week. It's the first of six before the final reveal at season's end. This is the ninth year of the four-team format. Expansion to 12 is in the offing. But for now, the committee is still tasked with picking the best four teams. Of the previous eight playoff seasons, only once have the teams in the first poll matched the last. That was the COVID season of 2020. Otherwise, the rankings have been exactly 50% accurate from the initial rankings to the one right before the playoff. In year one, back in 2014, just one team from the first release made it to the playoff. That team was defending champ Florida State. Ohio State won it all that year. They were ranked number 16 in the first release. And the Buckeyes were only ranked in the last release, finding a spot at number 4. They beat top seed Alabama on their way to the title. Is the committee to blame for the less than stellar accuracy? No. The season must play out, week by week. Resumes in week 10 are different than those in week 16. So keep working. And if you're back in the pack a bit, remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Time for Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and Lindy Sports. com. Well, then we start in Auburn, where the Brian Harsin situation came to fruition this week. He is out. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I think it's part of a trend, sort of. It used to be that coaches didn't get fired in the middle of a season. They'd wait till the end of the year. And this is the sixth team that has fired their coach, sixth major team that's fired their coach already this season by the end of the month of October. And, you know, we still got some more that's probably going to happen. There were eight coaches that lost their job during the regular season last year. I think that the early signing date has a whole lot to do with this, about the way that it's been looked at differently. I'm not sure that Brian Harsin was a good fit at Auburn to begin with. There's been a number of cases where people from outside a region goes in and coaches and it doesn't turn out well, and they can be successful somewhere else. That might have been the case here. I'm not sure that, you know, there were people that didn't really want him to have the job in the first place and folks that wanted him to, you know, to be relieved of the duties, kind of like we've had it at LSU and some other places. I think Auburn needs to be careful as they make their hire coming up. And then, You know, they need to be. He needs to be. Whoever the replacement is needs to be given a chance to see if it's going to work.
Let's move on to the college football playoff poll. The first one released Tuesday. I know you got thoughts about that too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm overall okay with it. I agree that Tennessee right now is the best team in the country. I'm probably in a little bit going to pick Georgia to win the game because they're playing in Athens. But I like Tennessee being in that position. I probably would have Georgia higher. I'd probably have them second rather than Ohio State. I would have TCU ahead of Alabama at number six. I'd have an undefeated team from a Power Five conference ahead of somebody that has a loss. And I don't know that I would have Texas in there at with three losses down toward the end of the group. And I noted how many teams that you normally don't find in these places: Tulane, Oregon State, Wake Forest, teams that are not your traditional powers that have made it there. So good for those teams, and some teams that that aren't there: Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, teams that were ranked high at the start of the year. But I do like the fact that we wait this far into the season to do a poll. I really wish the Associated Press and the coaches would do the same thing.
All right, let's pick some games. Obviously, we've got some huge games coming up. This one, not so much, though. Clemson and Notre Dame.
Because Notre Dame has been such a disappointment. They're one of the teams that Lindy's had ranked high, and you know, they lost at home to Marshall. I like Clemson in this game. It's played at Notre Dame. Clemson's a better team. It is a game that Clemson has to be careful about, though, because Notre Dame has certainly got talented enough players that they could pull the upset. But I do take Clemson to win it.
All right. How about Texas and Kansas State?
I'm going with Kansas State. That's a team I've covered before. I've been out to Manhattan. Kansas is a great place. And they certainly have been on the roll the way that they've knocked off Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So I'm going to take Kansas State to win that ball game.
We didn't mention that Cadillac Williams will make his interim coaching debut Saturday at Mississippi State.
Very popular choice to put him in that position among Auburn people. You have to go with Mississippi State. They're playing at home. And then because of the Auburn situation, you don't know how this could go one of two ways. And it's got to be kind of a downer. So I expect Mississippi State to win that ball game. Hats off to Cadillac Williams if he can pull the team together and have a win.
We didn't know we'd be talking about possible bowl game implications, but Florida and A&M, Texas A&M, are playing for that.
Yeah, and it could be that either one of those teams, by losing, could put themselves in a position not to qualify. Florida's already got four losses. Texas A&M's already got five. Probably Texas A&M's the biggest disappointment of any team in the country. I'm going to go with Texas A&M because they're playing at home, but it's not a strong pick. It's very possible Florida could win.
And in Baton Rouge, Alabama, LSU.
It's going to be a good game, and I've got to eat some crow here. I underestimated LSU. They were a team I thought was going to be more mediocre than they are. I'm going to take Alabama. It's on the road, but I still think Alabama will probably win the game. But it will not surprise me if LSU wins it. And if LSU does, it certainly puts a different light on what we'd be looking at for the SEC championship picture.
And then finally, the big one, in Athens, Tennessee, and Georgia.
I'm going to take Georgia as a home field advantage is the total reason. If it was on a neutral field or in Knoxville, I'd take Tennessee. I do think Tennessee's been playing as the best team in the country right now. But as a home team, I'll take Georgia to win that game.
And let's hear your upset special.
I'm going with the Houston Cougars to knock off SMU. It seems like we've been talking about a lot of disappointing teams here. Houston's certainly one of those. We picked them to win the ACC championship. I'm going to take Houston to win that game against Southern Methodist.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.